It's Friday, March 5th, and we got tons of NFL news here in one day. Ridiculous amount of news. And every time I start talking about it on Twitter, breaking news down, you know, something else comes out, and I'm on to the next one here. But, yeah, I was not expecting this much news on one given day. 2 weeks, maybe a little under 2 weeks away from free agency. So I definitely want, I wanted to get on here and kind of discuss a lot of it because I have some thoughts on a lot of it. I do want to backtrack even to last night, which is obviously Thursday the 4th. We had some news come out that the Giants are, once again, I should say, shopping Kevin Zeitler, who was being shopped, you know, at the trade deadline as well. Solid guard. I thought he had kind of an off year, but they're looking to move him. $12 million saved if the Giants move on from him. And then the new team would also take in $12 million in terms of the cap hit. I think there's a shot he can get cut. You know, it's pretty obvious that the Giants are trying to move him, so they just want to move on, maybe get younger on the offensive line. But they're also kind of – that's kind of the storyline with a lot of the news here is teams are creating needs, but specifically in the interior offensive line. And there's a shortage on offensive linemen in general. There's definitely a shortage on interior offensive linemen this offseason. There are some decent ones, but yeah, I don't know if a team's going to, teams are looking for guards. That's one thing. They're looking for them. Zeitler could be a solid one, a little bit of a gamble, but are they going to take in $12 million? You know, if he got released, obviously you have to win a bidding war for him, but I think it'd be under, definitely think it'd be under $12 million. So he could end up being cut. That saves $12 million for the Giants. Another one last night, weird, comes out at the same time. It's almost the same exact situation. Andrew Norwell, who was once thought of as one of the best guards in football on the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're looking to trade him, and if they can't trade him, they're looking to cut him, actually. And it's weird because it's another guard. It's almost the same situation. We mentioned Zeitler, they would save $12 million. He'd also be a $12 million cap hit for a new team. Norwell would also be a $12 million cap hit for a new team. The Jags would save $9 million. Now, he's an aging guard, definitely declining. Again, once was one of the better guards in football. So I think, I don't know if anybody's going to trade for him, but again, all it takes is one team to get kind of desperate for a guard, which there are several teams kind of desperate, or maybe they will be. But again, I think he's ultimately released, and the Jaguars save that $9 million, so he could be a free agent. And I wanted to backtrack to yesterday with those two, news there and kind of moving forward to today, earlier today, Trey Turner, offensive guard, Los Angeles Chargers, is on the block. Another guy, put him on the block, another interior offense. I'm going to guard specifically. If the Chargers send him away, trade, released, they save just over $11 million. If a team's taking him in, they're trading for him. Under this current contract, you're taking in over $11 million. So all three of these players are pretty much in the same situation. It's very odd. Another situation where if the Chargers can't trade him, they may cut him because it's $11-plus million in savings, zero dead cap. So that kind of makes sense in a way, but you're creating holes. You take a look at the Chargers offensive line, protecting the Justin Herbert, very important. I mean, every offensive line is important, but we want to make sure new coaching staff, Justin Herbert played so well in the other old coaching staff, but they were fired for understandable reasons. But you don't want to make him go take a step backwards. We don't want to have him go backwards. So you want to make sure this offensive line is set. But getting rid of Trey Turner, you already had a need at left tackle. Pouncey retired. You pretty much already had a need at center. The guards were played at a pretty atrocious level last year. They could get better, but they're free agents anyways, Forrest Lamp and Dan Feeney. You already needed guards. Your only good spot was Brian Bulaga, who's actually a damn good right tackle. So that's a key spot that's already filled, but at the same time, aging, misses games all the time, has injury concern. It was kind of a need already, just maybe not that instant need. So the Chargers need an entire offensive line at this point. So they will save this money. There are some solid free agents in the offensive line in free agency. Not too many tackles, a little more guards, not a whole bunch. So the Chargers have some cap space. They're going to clear some more cap space. So, you could be positive about this, which I'm trying to stay positive here. They can be an appealing spot. You can go out and spend this money that you have and complete this offensive line. It's not something that gets done in one offseason. But at the same time, you're banking on all these guys agreeing to play for you. You're banking on you having top dollar, a bid, and then them agreeing to play for you. You know, some guys may take the top dollar. Some guys may take that 1 or 2 year deal on the best team. Some guys might take the best fit for, you know, a little cheaper. You're not guaranteed to land on these guys. So that's interesting. I would start rattling off landing spots for these three guards that are on the block. One, half the league needs guards, so you can list half the league. But number two, I think all three end up being cut. So I don't think anyone's going to trade for him. Again, all it takes is one. It's definitely possible somebody can trade for him. So interesting stuff. But yeah, the Zeitler and Norwell, that was yesterday, last night, Trey Turner this morning, all very similar. Oddly, very similar situations here. What else came out? I'm hearing this was yesterday into today. Something that I'm hearing could go down, which makes a lot of sense to me. We've been talking about a lot of potential restructures on Twitter. And the Bears are working on a Chicago Bears working on a contract restructure with Cody Whitehair and Eddie Jackson. I think more to come after that. We were talking about the big name guys. Those are somewhat big name guys, but in terms of the most potential savings, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, guys like that. They could perform restructures to them too, so I'd watch out for them. But ones that are sounding like they're definitely going to happen very soon: Cody Whitehair, Eddie Jackson. Now, if it's just a simple restructure where you drop the their base salary down to the veteran or their minimum, and spread that money over the future, if it's that, then I'm projecting around just over $4 million in savings for Cody Whitehair and just under $6 million for Eddie Jackson. If it's a more complicated restructure with void years, which some teams have been doing, they're usually rare, but some teams have been doing, we'll kind of get into that. Then they could save more there. But void years, it's a reason why they're rare. They're not ideal to do, but that's just something to look out for. Speaking of the Bears, Alex Smith was actually officially, we predicted it was going to happen, and we kind of knew it was about to happen. But Alex Smith officially cut by the Washington football team. Had to be done. He's not the same. You need to get better at the position. And how much savings were sitting there with them cutting him? $14.7 million. So they saved that. It had to be done. But I said, yeah, speaking of the Bears, this kind of is linked to the Bears. The two teams, I'm sure more teams will kind of come and play here, but two teams are given to watch out for in terms of Alex Smith as the Chicago Bears and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And there's some, they're linked to Alex Smith, here. Both teams, actually. Matt Nagy, coach Alex Smith, when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs, Nagy was on the coaching staff, of course. Alex Smith was actually the starting quarterback over Patrick Mahomes. They made the playoffs, and then Patrick Mahomes took over. Everyone knows the rest. And then Urban Meyer, way back, coached Utah, and that was one of the maybe the best season in Utah, college football history for Utah. Urban Meyer coached Alex Smith, and that's what made Alex Smith the top pick in the draft, his play there. So if Alex Smith was choosing between the two, and even if the Bears were cheaper offer than the Jags, I still think he would choose the Bears because he would have the idea, understandable, that he could have a chance to start. And maybe in his mind, he's going to start for the Bears, if it's sometime soon. The Bears don't have another quarterback there besides Nick Foles. The Jaguars, he kind of would have to know, I'm probably going to be the backup. I'm here to hang out with my guy Urban Meyer and coach up Trevor Lawrence or whoever it may be. We're pretty confident it's Trevor Lawrence. So I'm sure other teams would come in the mix here, but the Bears, yeah, definitely interesting because, I think the Bears fan base is kind of locked in on Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, even though they know it's not super likely. But then even after that, they're kind of locked in on maybe trading up, get a guy in the draft. But again, Alex Smith is the ultimate bridge quarterback. So do you trade up and get, we actually did a podcast episode last night. It was me and Danny. Danny's a huge Bears guy. We kind of debated that, would a bridge guy make sense and then trade, even if getting a rookie quarterback, Dan was kind of saying it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, given that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are on thin ice and they don't have the time. They don't have the opportunity to keep their job that long by doing that. But then we also kind of brought up they can buy themselves more time. Like, here's the plan. We're going to bring this guy in. We're going to draft this guy. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. McCaskey's may go, all right, that sounds good. You're keeping your job. So who knows there, but something to look out for. On to more contract restructures. Philadelphia Eagles are getting to work. They were negative, $65 million, further in than that. So absolute disaster situation. They're down to around that negative $30 million range in cap space. I guess still a pretty bad situation, obviously, but they're making progress. What they did this morning, actually, they restructured Darius Slay's contract. And, you know, a simple restructure is where it's pretty simple. You know, that's why they call it simple. You take their current base salary, you drop it down to the veteran minimum. You know, that changes by how many years they've been in, you know, if it's a veteran or not. But Darius Slay, in this case, down to a veteran minimum, which is just over $1 million. And then that difference, it doesn't disappear. It's not a pay cut. The difference you spread across the current year, and you divide it up evenly, actually. The current year and the remaining years on the contract. So it's very simple. But if you want to clear more money, you have to create void years at the end of the contract. And basically what that is you're paying them. You're taking a cap hit when they're actually not playing for you. So that's what you have to do to save more money. It's a little more, you know, obviously you don't really want to do that. But the Eagles went ahead and void years are, they're rare. But for the Eagles, they're not too rare. They kind of been doing them. And that's kind of what got them in this situation in the first place. So I never really agreed with them. But they've done it again with Darius Slay, and that actually created good news. They created $9.14 million in cap space for this year. That's the good news. They're progressing here. Bad news is, yeah, they're getting cap hits for Darius Slay through 2025. He's not going to be playing for them past 2023. Maybe even earlier that he'll be done, but they'll be paying cap hits on him. So that is not ideal. And then Eagles aren't done yet. We knew that. Jason Kelce restructures his contract. He only had 1 year left on his deal. So that, again, you know, in that situation, you couldn't at all do a simple restructure because there's nowhere to push the money to. He has 1 year left on his deal. So they pretty much had to do void years with him, a void restructure. So they went ahead and did it. $4.35 million cleared. That is not a whole lot, but they clear it, and that's going to be helpful. But they're going to be paying cap hits for Jason Kelce through 2025. So a good amount of money, too. So it's tough. They're clearing money now, but they're putting themselves in an interesting situation in the future. Brandon Graham, restructure talks underway with him as well. I expect a lot. We talk about that a lot with the Eagles. But, yeah, you know, where I'm kind of against this, the good news is you're clearing money right now. Where I'm kind of against this, and as other teams, you know, the Saints were pretty far negative. And of course, you want to get positive so you can bring a guy back or two and make some minor moves maybe. So that makes sense. And you could kind of argue that you can just keep doing this. But, it's almost at the point where you should kind of take an offseason off. And why I say that is because, you know, you're clearing all this money. You're pushing it back. You're not completely cutting it. You're pushing it back to future years just to get positive. Like I said, just to barely get positive and sign some guys back or just maybe make some minor additions in offseason, this offseason. And you still have needs. Everyone in that situation is still going to have needs. And then you get to the next offseason and the next offseason and the next one. And you have those extra cap hits that you create. Instead of having that load of cap space that you were scheduled to have, you kind of hurt that. And then you're in the situation again. And of course, this is where people say the cap space is a myth. You can keep pushing it back. And it sounds ridiculous, but then you're just back in the same situation. You have to push all this money back just to barely make some moves. How about go as planned, go towards what's supposed to happen here, have that load of cap space, and just wait a year, make your moves then, make those major signings, build that championship team then. I think these teams have the mindset that they're winning a Super Bowl every single year, and they're playing the offseason. They're trying to do everything they can to get that one extra guy. It's failed quite a bit, and it may continue to fail. The only way it's a win is if you win the Super Bowl, and that's what their goal is, and it's tough to do. So I don't really agree with what these teams are doing, but we'll see what happens. A couple franchise tags went out today. Taylor Moten, Panthers tagged him. That's $13.6 million. It was expected. Taylor Moten, if you were to sign him to a long-term deal or some kind of deal that's not the franchise tag, he would get over $15 million per year. Franchise tag, $13.6 million. So the Panthers kind of save money by doing that. That made sense to me. Yeah, and of course they can talk with him and try to reach a long-term deal out still. So I wouldn't really rule that out, but it kind of made sense. Justin Simmons got the tag, which was kind of expected too, from the Broncos, maybe one of the best safeties in football. $13.7 million is the tag for him, and they're definitely, we know that for sure, that they're going to continue to try to work on a long-term deal there. He wants to, you know, they played it safe. You know, put the franchise tag him. It's a pretty good price for us, I guess the Broncos are saying. And then in the meantime, we'll work out a deal. There's not a huge rush on that. But yeah, Simmons kind of, I think he wants to be the highest paid safety, which is understandable, you know, around $15 million. So they're trying to work it out there. So yeah, it all makes sense. So those are two tags so far, more tags to come. What is it? March 9th, which actually is only, you know, 4 days away, late in the afternoon. And on that day, it ends, the window closes where you have to tag, players. So once that, you know, period comes, we'll make a video on our channel and kind of grade the decisions. Maybe we'll talk about decisions that weren't made, you know, ones that maybe we expected or should have happened. We'll talk about that as well. Give you guys an update here, what I'm going to talk about still, so you're not sticking around for nothing. We'll talk about Danielle Hunter. I'm still going to talk about J.J. Watt, actually. Micah Hyde, an extension with the Bills. Jamie Collins, potential restructure here with the Detroit Lions, and maybe Kenny Galladay talk. Von Miller news, and then some Raiders news. So I'm getting that still as well here. But yeah, I mentioned Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter, I was talking about, could be a potential pay raise candidate because he's a top end pass rusher. Didn't play last year, though. That's the tricky part, but because of injury. But he's a top end pass rusher, and he's, you know, getting around that 11, 12 million range. And the Texans just signed veteran center Justin Britt. So that's a little, some minor news there, but just got that now. But yeah, so Danielle Hunter, you know, I mean, he really should, if he's healthy, checked out, good to go, he should be getting around $20 million per year. Let's be honest here. One of the better 4-3 defensive ends in football. So, and there it was, yeah, all the Twitter stuff, the social media stuff always gets blown out of proportion. But I believe somebody tweeted, you know, Hunter, could he get a raise? Could he get extended? Could he get traded? And I believe it was a Titans account, not, of course, not affiliated with the Titans, but I think a somewhat popular Titans writer or blog or something like that went ahead and said, you know, something like, and not exact words, but something along the lines of, give me Danielle Hunter to the Titans, or maybe Danielle Hunter to the Titans, something along those lines. And Danielle Hunter actually liked that tweet. And now people always kind of go a little wild when athletes do things like that. But it is interesting. It is interesting. I think people will take it as he's saying he wants to go to the Titans. You know, that's not how I'm taking it. I'm taking it, yeah, he kind of wants that. He kind of wants more money, or we can talk about trades perhaps. He hasn't really said that. That's kind of where I take it. So all those things kind of connect. They all kind of make sense. So it's definitely a guy to look out for. The Vikings made some minor cuts today, clear a little more space. They cut Kyle Rudolph the other day. They're starting to clear space. They actually had, they were negative, but they actually have ways to clear space. We'll see if they take advantage of that, and we'll see if they give Danielle Hunter their money, or see if they try to just keep him where he's at and make other additions. Obviously, you prefer, you know, if you're a Vikings fan, you prefer, we want more guys. At the same time, Danielle Hunter kind of is an addition. He missed all of last year. Anthony Barr missed all of last year. Michael Pierce missed all of last year. Kendricks missed a chunk down the stretch, which was crunch time to make the playoffs. So they are a team that kind of gets better by default. That's kind of the good news if they do extend Danielle Hunter or pay him more and they can't really make too many new, you know, big moves. You know, that I guess you can't be totally bummed, but something to watch out for. I want to mention J.J. Watt because the other day he signed the contract. When guys, you know, sign, you know, we never really know right away what the cap hit's going to be. We kind of have an idea what kind of cash he's going to make, you know, what the basics of the contract looks like. And we start to get more details. We still don't know the exact cap hit. You kind of can come up with something in your head. Today, we talked about that on Twitter, you know, what the cap hits could actually be. So the cap hit this year with J.J. Watt is going to be, and this is kind of sounds like great news at first, and then it maybe there's some bad news attached to it. And, you know, I don't know if I want to say bad, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think I want to say bad, but I think you get where I'm going. But J.J. Watt, cap hit 2021, $4.9 million. That's what the cap hit is. So that, for a guy like J.J. Watt, that's not a lot. You know, the Cardinals weren't hit that bad. You know, some of us wondered if he got, you know, a J.J. Watt-like hit, cap hit, man, the Cardinals might be done this offseason. That might be their move. They might have some other moves. They might be done. But because the cap hit is $4.9 million, that's not too much there. It's still something, you know, about $5 million. It's still something. But they got wiggle room still. So that's kind of the fantastic news. And now where it kind of goes close to bad news, I don't want to say it's like bad news, you know, terrible news. But then that kind of leads you to believe, yeah, there's going to be some big money to pay in the future there. And there is. 2-year contract, $4.9 million hit in the first year. Second year, $15.9 million. Now, that wouldn't really be a problem, you know, if he's still good then, which is very realistic. Healthy, I guess health is kind of the concern, but realistic. So that would be fine. But they are kind of locked, and if they do cut him, they can save over $4 million. But there is some dead cap there, but overall they would save $4 million. But it's not really a contract that says it's a 1-year deal. You know, we can cut him. You know, it's probably he's there for 2 years. But they did create 4 years on that deal so they only could have that 4.9 this year. So they'll be paying him when he's not playing for them, $9.6 million. So that's a cap hit in the future. So basically what this feels like for the Cardinals, they're saying, forget the future. We're right. We want to win right now. And it's kind of appealing in the way, but they're trying to win right now. So this is almost, you know, almost not really quite one of these situations where they're going to have to win now. So if they don't go big this free agency and they don't win now, you know, make some noise, you know, it's kind of a fail. It's really what it is. You know, it's not that major fail, but there's some teams that do situations like this where they got to win a Super Bowl or it's a bust. You know, it's close to there, I guess, because they're thinking they're going to make a Super Bowl team this year, which they very well can. It's a talented team. They're a little disappointed at the end of last year. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. I guess overall the good news is they have plenty of not plenty, but they still have some spending money this year. Then news broke that Micah Hyde got a 2-year extension with the Buffalo Bills. You know, he already had another, you know, he was already under contract. Of course, he wasn't a scheduled free agent. So that news broke. We talked about it. I'm thinking, you know, usually when you extend guys, there's the possibility of clearing money in the act of extending guys. You know, you can actually restructure while extending. And let's see. Texan center Justin Britt, 1 year, maximum value of a $5 million contract, base value $3.2 million. So, yeah, the Texans cut Martin, their center, and now they got a replacement in Justin Britt. Not the best replacement, but they feel is an upgrade, feel is a fit, you know, cheap cost, I suppose. So interesting. But back to Hyde. So yeah, Micah Hyde, 2-year extension. So you're kind of wondering, you know, the Bills are tight on cap. Can they restructure in the act of extending? Probably, but then you take a look at his contract. He was due a $4 million base salary. So not much to work with there, but there is something to work with. So what I came up with, you know, was they could clear, not a whole bunch, but $1.98 million roughly in cap space by doing that. But that'll be useful to the Bills because they're barely positive right now, projected-wise. So I think, I tweeted that out. You know, if they did, you know, or you can just extend a guy and just leave it alone. You know, that's pretty common too. But if they were going to restructure within an extension, you know, they would clear around $1.98 and almost immediately after. I believe it was Rapport tweeted out that his deal is essentially the same this year. His salary is essentially the same, not the same essentially. So I'm wondering if they did clear a little bit of that money, you know, the exact details. We know some details on signing bonuses in the future that started to come out, but I'm wondering if they did clear around that range. So that's pretty interesting. It helps the Bills out a little bit, but a stud safety that played very well in the playoffs, especially very good duo. You know, he's a good pairing with Jordan Poyer. He's locked up for two extra years there, so that's fantastic news for the Bills. Then it you know, right around that time it broke. This is where I was like, wow, things are happening like crazy. Jamie Collins was going to receive a restructured contract. Now, simple restructure could have happened, but it has been reported that earlier today that it was a void restructure. So another one of those void restructures. They're pretty rare, unless it's the Eagles. Sometimes a team like the, you know, the Saints do a lot of restructures, but you know, usually it's just the Eagles with the void deals. We had Big Ben, you know, earlier this week with the void deal restructure. We had a couple Eagles guys, but I get Eagles again. That's kind of common there. J.J. Watt's deal had it, we found out. So we're finding out, you know, more and more teams doing that. Why? Because they're desperate to save money. Why? Because the team salary cap is way lower than normal, which makes teams in bad, you know, creates team results in teams being in bad cap space situations. Why? Because the COVID situation and the lack of ticket sales. So it all connected there, which creates maybe the craziest offseason. It looks like it's going to be that because we're not even, it's really not even started yet. So that's absolutely crazy. So Jamie Collins, it's apparently going to be void, and we still haven't heard more details on specifically how many void years, because the more void years there are, the longer you'll be paying a guy like Jamie Collins when he's not on the team, but the more you can save. So I went ahead and, you know, did it myself, and we'll see if my numbers are correct, but I did tweet out, you know, if it's 1 year, it'll be this amount. If it's 2 years, it'll be this amount, but ends up being in the range of 5.15 is the lowest they will clear, and 6.43 is, so in the same range there, 6.43 is the most they will clear. So expect the Lions, the news to come out that the Lions have restructured Jamie Collins and added void years to his deal, and they cleared in that range of $5 to $6.5 million. So expect that to come out here very shortly, soon, sometime. This is interesting too, because yeah, they're gonna be paying Collins paying cap hits for Collins into the future. You know, it's tricky for the Lions too, because I kind of wondered, you know, would they restructure deals, because they have a lot of savings on the line. You know, Jared Goff himself is like over $20 million, the most possible somebody can save on a player from a simple restructure. So I was kind of expecting that one, but I was kind of wondering, do they go into these other guys, because they're not really a win now team. I guess they could be sneaky good, I suppose. But do they want, because those cap hits go into the future, remember, on restructures, they don't completely disappear. You know, those are pay cut restructures. Those aren't too common, as you know, either. So do they want to have cap hits in the future where that is where they're going to be going big? Because they're maybe not a championship team now, but maybe in, I mean, we'll say best case, you know, two, 3 years, and rebuild, retools are pretty quick turnarounds these days in the NFL. At least they're hopeful they can be. So they're going to be wanting going, you know, completing the roster, getting those major veterans. Then do they want to take cap hits in the future? But they kind of answered that question. You know, not only do they restructure some of these other guys other than Goff, and again, they haven't done Goff yet, or maybe they won't, but there's a lot of savings there. But not only have they done that, they've done it the most extreme possible way with void years here that's been, you know, reported with Jamie Collins. We'll see the exact numbers, but that's very, very interesting there. And also reports something that I expected. I predicted Kenny Galladay to get the franchise tag. He did. They did not place it on him yet, but he's expected to get it. He's expected to get it. It's about $15.8 million for him, and they'll continue to work on a deal after he's tagged. But again, it didn't happen yet, so maybe they're still trying to work on the deal. Maybe it'll end up being a deal. But they want him there, and that was expected. Some people were starting to talk about, maybe Kenny Galladay is going somewhere else. I never was really believing that. He's a very, very good receiver, all-around talent. He's one of those guys that I would think is it's a different era with the receivers. You know, totally different type of receivers are thriving, succeeding compared to 10 years ago, maybe more. But I think Kenny Galladay is one of those guys that I watch him play. I think, you know, as long as he's healthy, I guess that's the concern. I think he'd be this good in any era. You know, there's some guys that would be better in an old era. Some guys that would be worse. You know, same thing goes for the guys that played back then. Kenny Galladay is a guy that I view that I think he'd be, you know, very, very talented in any type of era. You know, so that's why I like his game a lot. And he's very talented on top of that. So that's a guy to look out for. News came out that Von Miller was cleared, you know, with the off-the-field issues. There's no charges anymore. So I know we were all worried about that. You know, what's going on with that? And was that going to decide his fate with the Broncos? Because, you know, a lot of people are talking like he's a free agent. He's not actually a free agent. And that's yet with a maybe yet at the end of that, because he has a club option, team option here. Broncos decide if they pick up his option, he will have a cap hit of $21.5 million. But all that cap space projections that you see at the Broncos, you know, if you're out there listening to this and I saw this amount for the Broncos. So does that mean they subtract that 21.5 if they pick up the option? No, it's actually already factored into all those projections that you see. But if they decline the option, then, you know, it's almost like a player that's getting cut. So then you actually take off $18 million in savings. So if they pick up the option, there's no more additional cap hits. It's kind of in factored in there. But to keep in mind, his actual cap hit is 21.5, which is very expensive. That's elite money. Von Miller actually is an elite talent, but will he be healthy? Will he be on the field? Is he the same? I like to think so, but I guess that's not a, it's definitely no guarantee. $18 million in savings, so you don't save that full 21.5, but you're almost there. $18 million in savings, it's also kind of elite money there. That's a lot of savings. The Broncos have a pretty complete team. They're kind of relying on getting some guys back. You know, Simmons are already, he'll be back. We know that. And then kind of relying, you know, banking on Drew Lock playing, you know, better ball or whoever their quarterback would be, because the rest of the roster is very good. They do want to take a look at the right tackle position unless Juwan James is healthy. But if you do get rid of Von Miller, it kind of opens up a bit of a hole. I mean, they got some other good rotation guys, you know, top end rotation. That's where I view them, you know, top end rotation guys. So I would almost keep Von Miller, because you know, when you have a shot to have a guy like that, and you do, he's right there in your hands. You know, if you're not confident with him, I guess with future off the field stuffs, but I don't think that would be the case. If you're not confident in him, you know, being the same or being healthy, then yes, that's understandable. So maybe they move on from $18 million and they can go to work, you know, and then they can do more than just get their guys back. But a pretty good roster with the Broncos about staying healthy and about improvement at the quarterback position, whether it's Drew Lock himself improving or if that is getting somebody else. Then the news broke not too long ago, actually, before, you know, right before actually I started recording this. We talked about it on Twitter already. The Raiders cut Richie Incognito, and there's multiple parts of the story where actually, you know, it ends up with him maybe ending up on the Raiders, but we'll kind of get back to that. We'll get to that in a second. But the Raiders cut Richie Incognito. That saved $5.475 million. The Raiders were negative at one point. Now, you know, with their moves, they're up to $12 million in cap space. We'll talk about that more, what that means in a second. But so they cut Incognito, clears $5.475 million. And normally, you know, I guess if this was, because remember, they cut Gabe Jackson a couple days ago. And that was a surprise to me. But if Incognito got cut before Gabe Jackson, I predicted that to happen. You know, I predicted him to get cut. I did not predict Gabe Jackson to get cut. You know, but Gabe Jackson got cut, and that was a little bit of a surprise to me. Open up a little bit of a hole, but they got Incognito, and that kind of tells me they're not going to cut Incognito. And now they cut him, so that kind of had me, you know, it's a little bit of a head-scratcher. So now they're just creating holes at the guard position while you have a need, you have needs at, you know, you may need another offense lineman as it is. You need receivers, but the whole, almost the entire defense has needs. So didn't make much sense. So now Gabe Jackson, Incognito out. You know, the good news is you're clearing space. But it kind of turns out that he could end up back with the Raiders on a cheaper deal. Could. We'll see. And that actually makes sense to me, because you remember that money I said that they cleared with Incognito? $5.475 million. And dead cap, there's $0 in dead cap. The best way for me to explain dead cap, some people get confused by it. To me, it's the money that you can't save. So, you know, $5.475 million you can save, but there's zero dead cap. So that means you can save that full cap hit, $5.47 million. So you're not losing out any savings there. So you could afford to cut a guy like that and bring him back, because you're not losing out on anything. You know, you don't feel, you feel like you could do this. Also, you know, all these teams trying to restructure deals, adding, you know, extension, you know, void years to be able to do it. The Raiders are going the old good old-fashioned way. We're going to cut them, and we're going to bring him back for cheaper, maybe. But if they do that, I think it's smart. I mean, I don't think it takes a genius to figure that out, honestly. But you look at what all these other teams are doing, you know, it looks pretty good for the Raiders. It looked like a pretty good contract to start with. So that's the starting point. Good contracts make it easier in the future. You can make decisions like this. So, I mean, you can kind of give the Raiders a little bit of a clap here if they end up making this happen. That kind of makes sense to me. I guess the question, will Incognito stay healthy? But right now they're sitting around $12 million in cap space. They do need to work on maybe the offensive line, but for sure receivers and a lot of the defense, another pass rusher, an interior player. They're probably going to be okay at linebacker, adding Littleton and Kwiatkowski last year. A couple other guys, of course. They have secondary could get better, but they do have some young guys that are getting better, but they do need help there. So they have some needs. They're clearing cap space. That's good. They need more of it, so that's kind of bad. But then the good news is they'll be able to clear some more space. Trent Brown on the trading block, it sounds like he won't be cut. It's trade or kept. Makes sense to me. Potentially can clear $14 million by trading him, get a draft pick back, but then you kind of add to the need at the offensive line. Marcus Mariota, you could save over $11 million with him. I expect him to be traded. Then you have guys that can be cut like LaMarcus Joyner, Jeff Heath, Jalen Richard, actually save a decent amount of money, especially with Joyner, over $8 million. So some pretty good options there for the Raiders. They'll be able to clear space and go to work, but they have to have a pretty big free agency, it feels like. It feels like one of those teams. There's just, you know, I think most, you know, some people want to, you know, go in and look at who has the most cash space. Okay, those teams have to spend it. They have to have the biggest offseason. That, I don't think that's true. That's not the way I look at it. You know, I think, you know, teams like the Raiders, teams like, you know, that are kind of middle of the pack, that, you know, you feel like they have to have the big offseason. There's teams that, you know, don't have to really absolutely have to spend all that money. They may have $90 million. Just, I don't know if there's that team. You know, the Jaguars, I guess, are the example. They have a load of draft picks. They're going to be young. They're going to always going to improve. They don't absolutely have to go in and just drain all of that. You know, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense at all. So that's the way I look at it. So, yeah, we'll see what happens here with these teams. But, yeah, news breaking like crazy. There's been news over the last several days, and we break it, talk about it, give you my thoughts, a lot of number crunching, exactly what things mean on our Twitter. So at Goathouse NFL, you definitely need, I'm sure everyone listening to this probably is already following it. So I appreciate you, but you definitely need to be following that. We're going to be breaking down major news, you know, predictions, rumors, what to look out for, grades. We grade every single free agency signing on our YouTube channel. All that content, including NFL draft content, member mock drafts, my mock drafts, things like that, all will be on that channel, as usual. You guys probably know that as well. But I kind of like, you know, I hopped on this podcast real quick, pretty easy way to just summarize the day's news, you know, things, smaller things and rumors that I usually don't make a video for each one for. It kind of made sense. So maybe we can do this a little more often. We're trying to get the podcast rolling, really excited about where we're heading. And that's, you know, big thanks to the fans out there, for the viewers, for, you know, taking an interest here. But yeah, I'm sure news will break as soon as I sign off here, but that is it right now. So yeah, appreciate you guys for listening. You can get in contact with us on our Twitter, and hopefully you can check out our YouTube videos. Just search the Goathouse or Goathouse NFL, and you'll find us. But thanks for listening. That's going to do it. Goodbye.